Yeah, okay, Rabbi Isai. First of all, again, we're beginning a new season, a new year. So first of all, we hope everybody, Bez Hashem, that we pray that all is good, so we have a good Ben Shah, be able to have again, Bez Hashem, a successful and healthy year. Regarding, again, this new season, it's a little scary, but I just looked back a little bit, and I just find out that this is our 12th year. It's our 12th year since we've been doing this series, this Ashkofi series, and just to give a little bit of a rundown, just remember what we did. We started 2004, Tufshin Samach Dalet. We started with Rav Tzadik, then came Tanya, then came Ramchal, then came Talmud Devarah, then came Nefesh HaChaim, then came Shari Tshuva, then came Chayvus Halvavos, then came Orchis Tzadikim, then Michtav Melayo, then Orchis Chaim to the Rosh, Miyaderech Hashem last year, and now it's Shari Avoida, Rabbi Yoina. So first we want to give a big shkoich again to Rabbi Glazer and to Reb Tuv Salzburg for providing as much Sfarim as was available for now. For some reason, I don't know, the Sefer Shari Avoda, they tried very hard to get more. So it's one of two things. Either Sefer is so popular that it's all sold out that you can't get anything, or maybe they just don't print enough because it's a Sefer that not too many people look for. Bechol Eifin, you're talking about a Rishon over here, so a Rishon of Ben Yoina does not need any askomis, does not need any approbation, and does not need any encouragement to try to describe, you know, who the Mechaber is and what type of a Sefer will be Mezer Shem relearning. At the same time, also, I want to give a big shkoich to a Baruch Singer, because this recording machine is already 11 years old, actually. This is the one I've been using since the very first moment on, and that's the one that produces all the tapes, including Yehuda Lederman, who produces his own with his own tape recorder. So I don't know which one you're getting. You're getting from the machine, or you're getting from his own. But Bechol Eifin, on the Sefer Shari Avoda, seems to be a takeoff of Rabbeinu Yoina Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva is really the very famous Sefer of Rabbeinu Yoina. And Rabbeinu Yoina makes some references in the Sefer Shari Tshuva as I've written in Shari Avoda. And we didn't have the Shari Avoda in the Shari Tshuva. And then Ksav Yad Ruslan will mention regarding called Shari Avoda. And therefore it's called Sefer Shari Avoda, which is Miyuchas, attributed to Ben Yoina, because on the Ksav Yad it was not actually written clearly that he himself wrote it. He did not like sign off his name, as you may find in certain manuscripts. However, being Rabbi Yoina does make mention, and there are passages in the Shari Avoda that are similar to areas in the Shari Tshuva, which we know is Rabbi Yoina, and therefore the connection has been made. Rabbi Yoina, of course, realizes was born in Gerona in 1180, and he was nifter in 1263 in Toledo. Rabbi Yoina was a ben doire of the Ramban. Let me tell you, as a matter, he was a first cousin to the Ramban. He was a first cousin to the Ramban because Ramban's mother and Rabbi Yoina's father were brother and sister. Not bad. So you have Rabbi Yoina, and then you have Ramban. In addition to that, there were Mechotonim as well. They were Mishadu with one another. Which means to say is the Ramban had a son. His name was Rabbeinu Shloime. Rabbeinu Shloime was the son of Ramban. Rabbeinu Shloime became the Edom, the son-in-law of Rabbeinu Yoina. So the Ramban was Mishadu himself with Rabbeinu Yoina, and Rabbeinu Yoina was Nifter first. Now, common is in Sfarad, in Spain, that when a grandchild is born, they name it first after their living grandfather. Ramban was alive, but he deferred due to the tremendous derecheres and respect that he had for Rabbeinu Yoina, to the greatness of Rabbeinu Yoina. Therefore, he said, no, I'm mevater on the name. Don't name the baby after me, the living grandfather, but name the baby after the other grandfather. In this case, was Rabbeinu Yoina, who had passed on. One of the, I guess you can tell you, one of the most famous Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yoina, you don't need any better Talmud. If you had only, that was the only Talmud you had, was the Rajba. The Rajba was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina. And what distinguishes Rabbeinu Yoina, if one can say, well, more, what stands out from other Rishonim, is the fact is that Rishonim have titled Rabbeinu Yoina with the title HaChosid. Now, Chosid does not mean you're following the Baal Shem Tov in those days. Because if you realize the Goyen, who was a tremendous misnagid, one of the most fiercest opponents on the Derech HaChassidus, but in the titles you find wherever they title the Goyen, HaGoyen HaChosid Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So Chosid can mean much more than a certain type of a lavush or a certain type of attitude regarding, as we call today, Chassidus. Chosid means extreme piety. Shaar Hasidus, right, that you have, of course, in the Ramchal. It's not talking about Hasidus in the way we know it today. And the Shaar Hasidus that we find, actually, with Pinchas Ben Yoyah talks about what a chosid means. And Eze chosid, ham es chasid im koinoi. Hayman de boil on the heve chasidah, the Gemara says. There are a lot of qualifications that a person needs to be called a chosid. The kaimel of the brachis, a person to make brachis properly in Eloch, the Gemara says. Another man domes, the kaimel of the nezikin, to be careful from damaging someone. To be careful, to be sensitive to other people's property. These are one of the things that really, that one deserves the title of chosid, according to the view of Chazal. So the generic term of chosid means something else than what we're accustomed to have been adopted today. Ben Yonah has been titled HaChosid. Have been titled HaChosid, and as a matter of fact, when he was Nifter, we can imagine it invoked tremendous sar in the Olam HaTorah by his peers, and Ramban wrote an elegy, a kina, so like a poem of sar. Ramban wrote, describing the pain and the loss to the world, to the psira of Rabbeinu Yonah. Ramban himself, again, it's not that familiar. People think about Ramban Chidush Ramban Alashas, which of course that in Olam HaYeshivas, that's what we learn. Chidush Ramban, we learn Ramban Alatayra, we know. Not all that familiar, there's Chuvas Ramban. Shas is Chuvas Ramban. And Ramban, the Chuvas, Simon Reish Peidalud, he quotes, when he titles Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes, Ish Shalikim Kodoshu Harav HaChosid. Now you realize we're talking about two things. We're talking about a tekufa where they didn't just throw titles around, something like today. Number two, who is the one who's writing it? A Rishon writes a title where he calls somebody Kodesh, he knew what a Kodesh was. So Ramban writes according to his Hasoge what a Kodesh means, and he writes title on Rabbeinu Yonah, Ish Elokim Kodesh, who he writes Harav HaChosid. Let's give another example. Rabbeinu Bechaya, Al HaTorah, right? The great Rabbeinu Bechaya, right? The great Mefarshim Al HaTorah, also a Rishon. Rabbeinu Bechaya in the Hakdomah. In the Hakdomah, introduction to Rabbeinu Bechaya in his Pirush Al HaTorah, he writes the following. Umepirushai Echot Kodesh Medaber Nechbodos. There's a parish of someone, a Kodesh Echot, but who speaks words of honor, very choshev things. Askir, I'm going to mention him. Who? Who is he? He says, "Who is Shelikim Betoyre Amoyrupino?" He is a pillar. He's a pillar. He's an Ishelikim Betoyre Harav Agodol Rabbeinu Yonah Zechroin Lavrocha. And he's not quite satisfied with that alone. He writes regarding Rabbeinu Yonah, in addition to being Ish Kodesh, Ish Elikim B'Torah, he writes, Dvorav Oshis Ateres Pozol Roshi, the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, I will make a crown of sapphire to my head. Lahachshir Yisus Nafshi, to give life to my neshama. Amazing words that a Rishon should write about another Rishon. The words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Mayoker Chiburoim Mezohov Mikol Pninim. How precious, how dear are the chiburim of Rabbeinu Yonah, more precious than gold and than any precious stones. Man yohev lo ma'afrei. I wish I would have some of the dirt of his kever to put my eyes, to fill my eyes. You hear that, Lishonis? Amazing, amazing. Man yohev lo ma'afrei u'malinen aynen. I will fill my eyes just with the offer of his kever. It's a loshon you find the Gemara also, where the Gemara says, you find one Tana referring to another Tana that passed. Here we find Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Bechaya, applying that type time lotion to Rabbeinu Yonah. There's the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz was born in Barcelona in 1361. And the Tashbetz says the following. Leikom komoyu, listen to the lotion, Rabbeinu Yonah, regarding Rabbeinu Yonah. Leikom komoyu, medaber b'yiras Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah Hesus was a medaber. He was a baldashin also, just a right on Musar. But he was someone actually, was someone who delivered. Who delivered fiery lectures, fiery dresses regarding Musa. So he says, Lekom komoyu midaber beyiras Hashem, limshoich libas b'nayodom ledarke hachasidus, to the ways of piety. Lekom komoyu, there's no one like Rabbeinu Yonah who had that ability. By the way, in the few Rabbeinu Yonahs that we do have here, whoever managed to get one without instead of the copy, there's in the back, again, I don't even know if you noticed, but in the back there's also this accommodation, there are two Svarim of Rabbeinu Yonah. As you have here, the Shari of Avodah, and in the back, the also is called the Sefer Hayira. There's another Sefer of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was Mechaber, also the Sefer Hayira. The title speaks for itself, it's the Sefer in Yerushalayim. Whether he called it Sefer Hayira, whether he calls it Shari Tshuva, whether he calls it Shalom, all encompasses, motivation and aces and ways and ideas of perfecting one's ways. And basically for a person to become as closely as possible that he is to perfection as according to a person's potential. So you have Shari Tshuva, you have Sefer Yod, there's a Sefer called Igeres HaTshuva. Also from Ben Yoyinah. So you have Shari Tshuva, and then you have Igeres HaTshuva. Then there's the Ben Yoyinah Mishnah Yisovis, Masechta Yisovis. Then you have a Ben Yoyinah, which is a Perush HaMishlei. And by the way, there was Perush Ben Yoyinah all over Shas, which we lost. We don't have those manuscripts. But we do have Tamid Ben Yoyinah Brochus. Why is it called Tamid Ben Yoyinah? It's the classic. Anybody who learns Masechta Brochus, surrounding the Rif. You can't have a Masechta Brochus without going looking into Ben Yoyinah. It's called Tamid Ben Yoyinah because it was edited by his Talmidim. But it's the Torah of Ben Yoyinah. That's the Masechta Brochus. Then you have what's called Aliyas Ben Yoyinah, which is on the Masechta Bava Basra. And you have a Masechta Sanhedrin. These are the things that survived. To mention that the Sefer Shari Tshuva printed the first time in Italy, 1505, over 500 years ago. Printed over there in the Infano. We know the Roman Infano. That's what was printed over there. And the Sefer already was reprinted. There's really hundreds of editions since then, the Sefer Shari Tshuva. So just to conclude before we start, to mention one more thing, that the Chido, the great Chido. We went to Livorno because one of the main reasons is when we went 2 years ago to the trip is because we wanted to go push it to walk the streets with the Chido and all the great Mukubolim in Livorno. And we mentioned the last 2 decades of the Chido's life was in Italy, and he was Nifter in Italy, and he was buried in Livorno. And the reason he came in Ketchil as a Meshulach, sent from Yerushalayim, in order to raise money, twice he made the trip, coming all over Europe, managed in those days in the 1700s, to travel all over Europe. Came by boat, and then everything was through horse and buggy, and then again through boat, making it from one place to another, wherever you needed to go through, across water. And everything was horse and wagon, that's the way it was, horses and wagon, that's the whole thing. And he writes in his diary, that's what was left, his experiences from all over the places, literally, everywhere. And he writes very, very clearly. And the Chido, of course, Livorno, the reason, again, the Chido, again, was a prolific writer, who wrote close to 100 Sfarim. The B'chaim Yosef David Azulai, Rosh Tevis Chido. And you know, if you want to write Sfarim, you want to have them printed, you have to live in an area where there's a publishing house. Livorno is one of the main places in Italy that had a printing, Jewish printing, besides Venice, of course, was Livorno. And what else do you need? You need a printing press. You also need a sponsor. Livorno had people who really appreciated him, and men of means who were able to sponsor the Sfarim of the Chido. I have one or two Sfarim first printing, which is in Livorno, printed by the Birke Yosef of the Chido. It doesn't say Zechoin Lavrocha, mentions the name of the Chido. I, so-and-so, the Mechaber of the Sefer, it was during his lifetime, printed in the 1700s, the mid-1700s, printed in Livorno. As hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim that were printed in Livorno. But of course, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the Sfar, the Sheikh Chachams, you know, decided after a while that maybe it would be better to have the Chido in Eretz Yisrael. So due to the government arrangements, because you had to have a government, because Italy would not let them, you just couldn't exhume a body, not just to take, because you decide that you want to do that. You need a lot of government intervention. But if a government intercedes with another government, then you have a chance. So it was the Israeli government who actually were induced and encouraged in order to get involved, and as a result, the Italian government allowed, and the Chido's remains were removed and brought over to Nahar HaMenuchas. Anybody goes can see it. They made a beautiful oil over there, and Reb Moshe Eliyahu, who was very much involved with that, his cave is mamish right there. So whoever visits the Chido automatically visits, can't miss, you have to step over his caver. And therefore this is interesting. It is said by those who were involved, you can imagine all the tefillahs, it's not a simple thing to try to remove a caver of such a tzaddik, of the Chido. But all the tefillahs that they said, and all the fasting that they did, and the hachonis and the preparation, that when Chido's body was removed, they say it was as whole as when it was put in, even though hundreds of years. This is something that has been testified not so long ago. This just happened in the 60s. So maybe this is something just is in our time. So the Chido writes the following. The Chido writes, HaKoy Rebbein, one who reads the Svarim of Rebbein Yoyneh, he says, Yaskil Kedushosoy V'chasidosoy, becomes invigorated with the Kedusha. And the Chasidus, he says, of Rabbeinu Yoyneh. The Libo Yemaya Loshev, and quickly you're going to do tshuva. In other words, it's not shaykh to learn the Svarim of Rabbeinu Yoyneh without doing tshuva. As a matter of fact, he says, Libo Yemaya Loshev, your heart will quickly, very quickly do tshuva. Ki Divrei Kudishosoy Nechnosim Belev, V'hoi Lama Oiris, and it just lights up. This is the koyach. This is the power of Ben Yoyin. So writes the Chidor. And then he writes in another place also in the Sefer Shem HaGdolim, but in the Sefer Mareches HaSvarim, Sha'ichuvim Rabbeinu Yoyin HaChosid Shiyon. What kind of gates it is? If the Gemara says Shiyon HaMusiyonim, these are distinguished gates, Ve'oire HaNefesh, to be Me'oire ones Nishama, he writes, Ve'yirushimayim Udvarav HaGdoshim Mo'ilim Harbe B'shever Asher Hem Shoivrim Eslefu Evin. It breaks the heart of stone. That's the power of Rabbeinu Yoyin. By the way, B'shever Hashem Shevrim. Do you remember that? Chidor always wrote flowery language, which are basically play on words of psukim all over Shas over time. B'shever Hashem Shevrim. B'layakid Yosef. Remember Yosef collected all the money from all the people who came to buy food? B'shever Hashem Shevrim. That means the food that they bought. The Chidor writes here, his name was Yosef also, by the way, B'sheva Hashem Shevrim, the verse of Berna, break, hear the word means break, they break the lev of Evan, even if you have a heart of stone. He says, but your heart of stone would not be strong enough to withstand, he says, the power of the words of Rabbeinu Yoyin. So, Kaponim, so this Shtiklag Domesh is for now, regarding Rabbeinu Yoyin. And let's just mention the following, that's interesting, this Sefer Shara Veda we're learning now, the manuscript was discovered almost just recently. Almost recently. Now is the very first time it was printed, because everything we're talking about is printed hundreds of years ago. This Sefer Shara Aveda was printed the first time in 1967. Found the Ksaviyat. And it was printed the very first time by Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, the Chaim of Roche, one of the great Talmidei Chum of Bnei Brak. Rabbi Binyamin Zilber is a tremendous Talmid Chacham, wrote Sfarim on Hilchei Shabbos, Oz Nidbu, many Chalokim. A major, major Pesik. Chazon Ish respected him, all the Gedolim so respected him. In addition to his Ga'onis, he was also known as a very big tzaddik. People used to come for brachas to Rabbim. He was called Binyamin HaTzaddik. Again, it's a play after. In the Gemara says, Maisa ben Binyamin HaTzaddik. In time of the Gemara, there was somebody called Binyamin HaTzaddik. But Binyamin Zilber, being that he was such a tzaddik, they used to call him Binyamin HaTzaddik. Binyamin Zilber. But he's known as a great Pesach. And he also wrote Pirushim on a number of Sforim on Musar. He wrote, for example, Or Cheschaim and the Rosh that we learned a few years ago. So one of the editions is from Binyamin Zilber also, that he wrote a Pirush. By the way, Abraham Kievsky also wrote a Pirush on the Or Cheschaim of the Rosh. So anyway, so the first time that the Sefer Shari Aveda was printed was through Rabbi Binyamin Zilber. Again, it's saying in 1967. And for the sake of say intellectual honesty, there are those that say Shabbat is not Rabbeinu Yoyin. And they have some reasons for that too. But it appears that after everything is said and done, it has been accepted that the true identity of the Mechaber is Rabbeinu Yoyin. And therefore, they make sure, usually they write, no, it's Miyuchas of Rabbeinu Yoyin. Miyuchas means it's attributed. Because again, there was no signature signed on the manuscript directly that this was in fact Rabbeinu Yoyin. But if it's not Rabbeinu Yoyin, it was a Rishon, who is quite okay also, so it doesn't make a difference, whatever the name is. All right, so... Two Shara Avodah, we start at the beginning. Start here at the word Shara Avodah. These are the gates of Avodah, of a person, how he enters Avodah. He's going to be talking in general later, Avodah Sakarbonah, there's Avodah Satfila, Im Shah Daki Avodah B'chol HaMitzvahs, Rav Rabbeinu Yoyin Zechreino Livrocha. Now, you realize the opening words of Rabbeinu Yoyin, you realize, HaPesach HaRishon. Now, if you see on the bottom, if you see in the edition that we have here, all the way in the bottom, and that is from Rabbi Yom Zilber, because Ishar is a gate. But Rabbeinu Yoyin begins, Aleph, he begins HaPesach. Pesach is an opening. Which means to say is, because if you have, gates have doors to go through. There are many doors. So that you may have a gate, but there's many doors, and the doors need keys. You don't have to open those doors. So a Pesach HaRishon, therefore, the first thing before anything, before entering anywhere, the first idea in a person's career, to be an Eved Hashem, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbeinu Yoyin, listen to Rabbeinu Yoyin says, HaPesach HaRishon, you want to be a successful El Chayit. No Chacham, simple. Simple advice. Not luxury, necessary. Necessary advice. HaPesach HaRishon. Who? Sheyeda ho'ish ho'oivin erach atzma. There's something all psychologists are going to try to tell you. It's right here. Man has to recognize his own greatness, his own self-worth. Man has to appreciate, know that he has value. Ben Yoyin says it's not just good, Rabbi Yisai, it's not just a good idea in order to live a a life among society, to be a man among men, to be a man among people. And in order for a person to have a comfortable life, if a person doesn't have feel self-worth, then you're not a people among people. But in the career of Avodas Hashem, it's especially necessary. Especially, not in your social life, it's important to have a successful life, to have a life that's to enjoy life. If a person feels he's nothing, he can't, everything bothers him, everything, he sees negative. So of course, simply as living a social life, living a healthy life. So it's not just for mental health. It's important to know one's value. Again, that the Oyed Hashem should recognize his self-worth. Not only that, the Yaker Malosoi, he recognizes his own qualities, Umalas Avoisov, and the Milas of his ancestors, the qualities of his ancestors, Ugdulosom, the greatness, the Chashivusom, right, and their importance, and the Chibosom Eitzel Aboyer Yisbarach, how dear they were to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, if you go back early enough, everybody has ancestors who are very, very choshev. So all of us have roots. All of us have roots of ancestors that were very choshev, very close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that were very choshev, that were very loved by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Man has to remember that he has very, very choshev roots. As a matter of fact, we're soon going to find out, every Yid has roots of royalty. If not other, coming from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who are the Yovis themselves, no less than royalty. And every Yid is a Ben Melech, as we're soon going to see. So Ben Yoni says, that's a Pesach Harishin. One would say, okay, it's important, maybe it's number five. No, it's number one. It's number one. Number one, that every Yid has to recognize his Cheshivas. Every Yid has to recognize his Cheshivas. He has to recognize it. And therefore, if you recognize your Cheshivas, if you recognize your importance, look what he says further, the Yishtadel, right? A person should be mishtadel, means he should strive. Vishtadel v'yischazek tomit. A person should continuously strive. Lahamid atzmoi b'malahahi. In other words, a person should always try to strengthen his quest to reach that virtuous level. How? He says, lisnag b'tomit. In other words, if you are a son of royalty, that deems it behavior of royalty. So a person has to work towards that. A person has to strive that. If you know that you are Ben Melech, the person recognizes that you have this kind of a level of importance, so then the avodas hashem is to live up to that. If you are Ben Melech, then you have to live like a Ben Melech. So that should be the avodas hashem. First, you have to recognize what he is. That's the goal. He's a Ben Melech. He's a Ben Melech. The goal is to behave like a Ben Melech. It's easy to be a Ben Melech. You're born a Ben Melech. You're born to royalty. But does that really mean that you're going to behave like a Ben Melech? Just the opposite. How many people, right, sons of royalty, are disgraced with the royalty? So the avodas hashem is, once you recognize the Pesach Harishon, once you recognize that, in fact, that you recognize Erech Atzmo, you recognize your self-worth, you have to have self-esteem. You recognize your milas, you recognize your qualities. So now you have to strive in that quest to behave that way. That your hanhoge, right, should be symmetrical and should coincide with that mila. And b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, he says, you never stop. On every day, he says, Yosef oimetz, he should every day increase his efforts. Every day you should increase your efforts. Not said yesterday I did it, no. Every day you should Yosef oimetz. Every day you should increase his efforts. Liknois milus umidois. Every day again, you should again try to work through it. Efforts in acquiring those virtues which ashiskarubem leboiroi. A person should work trying to acquire those virtues that bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yidoveh kelov. That is the mode of behavior. The mode of behavior of a Yid should be something that your behavior will bring you close to Hashem and, as we said, being able to connect with Hashem. Says Rebbe Yoyne, now it may be very difficult in the beginning, but you know what the good news is? The good news is, he says, Imhoye reshisoi mitzor, that maybe at the outset the accomplishments may be very marginal. He said, I'm trying. He said, I don't seem to be successful. Don't worry about it. The end result will be enormous. In other words, you put in the effort. You put in the commitment. Kribach will help you that you're able to realize your goal. So, hoy reshisoi mitzor. It may become there in the beginning, maybe quite small baby steps. That's where it's going, little by little. But at the end of the day, he says, achrisoi yizgemioid. V'yase. Right? And he says further, V'yase, to the best of his abilities, V'yase, ashle yivoshu ayvoshu medrochov. Try to the best of abilities, conduct yourself in a manner that you will not be embarrassing to your ancestors way back. Whether it's Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that's way back. But maybe you don't have to go that far back. You can go back to your ancestors, right? Who were great people. Who were great tzaddikim. Great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, whatever it should be, whatever that happens to be. Behave in a way that they should not be embarrassed with you. As much as possible, he says, all we ask is, we're not asking you to be something that you're not. And don't expect that we're asking you, therefore we're asking the impossible for you. We're asking you to be the best that you can be. He says, all that we're asking you is to be able to do, conduct yourself according, he says, that you're able to do. And that's what we're asking. And if you do that, he says, the Yetzalei Mazer, what will be the result? The result of that will be the Kikashi Sava Taive. That when a person, let's say, becomes, right? When a person feels, let's say, an urge, a taive, a certain taive, a desire, the Yala Bilvova Gaive, and he all of a sudden becomes enveloped with a certain type of arrogance to do something that's not appropriate, he should be embarrassed. Because if you think about it, Faima Ben Melech, Is this appropriate for me? This is not appropriate for me. According to what I am, if I'm a son of royalty, how am I allowing myself to actually sink in the mud? How am I allowing to roll in the mud? How am I allowing myself to conduct myself in this type of a manner? It should be embarrassing to him if a person, again, so that means that person has to work on himself to realize, not just on paper, to recognize in fact his milus. If a person that can recognize and really believes his milus, then we also understand that the behavior, which is unbecoming, right, is contradictory to what he is and will cause embarrassment. He'll be embarrassed for himself, not other people. Yevosh me'atzmoi. The Yevosh me'avoi will be embarrassed. Say, how can my Zaydas, if my Zayda was a big tzaddik, but he sees the way I'm behaving, is it? It would be embarrassing. And therefore that will behoove him, right, to control his ways and to try to turn and do the right thing. The Yoshiv l'nafshe v'yoymar. And therefore he will reflect. Man will reflect to himself and he'll say, Odom Godel v'choshev, come on, here's Mazar. Tell me what that Tabalgava might mean. I'm an Odom Godel. We'll see about that soon. Right? You say that to yourself. A person should say to himself, Odom Godel v'choshev k'moini hayoim. Says a person, right, how can such a distinguished person such as me, right, sheyesh become a malus toivus romus venesois, how can such a choshev person, a distinguished individual like myself, who has such exemplary virtues, kishani ben gedoylem ben malchi kedem, right now I'm a descendant of such great, great people, eche esahara gdoyla azois v'chatosin lelikim v'lavoysa kol hayom e'en, right, how can I do that? This is the attitude. This person should bear that in mind. This is the way a person should mahalach. Matter of fact, Rabbi Twersky, Abraham Twersky, once pointed out, he has a lot of Rebbe Sheyichis. You know, of course, the Twersky Yichis come from Chernobyl, which is from Nochem Chernobyler and so on, and the different, where it branches out into various places. His father was a Milwaukee Rebbe. So he said many times, you know, when his child misbehaves, there are different ways, you know, of how a father tries to rectify or try to admonish a child. So one way is to say is to him, how can you do something so foolish? How can you be so foolish? How can you do something so loud that? In other words, scolding your child, but in a way of putting him down. So says, my father, he said, was different. When I did something which was not appropriate, my father would say, Sepasnish Fadir. It's not appropriate for something like you. You're such a... Somebody of your stature, he would build me up and say, some of your stature, it's unbecoming for you. So the other way around, it's not focusing on the negative, but focusing on the positive. Somebody like you, somebody's choshev like you, it's unbecoming, this type of behavior. It's inappropriate for somebody like you, somebody's choshev is you. And that's really what Rabbi Yoini here is trying to advance, that idea. That we live with this idea of remembering that. Then look what he says, and he's very strong about this, because look what he says now. Vim cholila v'chas. If a person fails, chas v'sholem. If a person fails, vim cholila v'chas le'yakir ma'loso y'malos avoysov. If a person failed to recognize his virtues and those of his obvious ancestors, then nokel yebein of loleches bedrochov will easily fall into his own behavior. Hapritzim. He'll be able to fall in all types of depraved behavior if you'll not bear in mind milas atzmoi, his virtues, the virtues of his ancestors. Lehigolos nigolos. And therefore, basically, he will follow. Lehigolos nigolos means he will follow ke'achad hanavolim. He will follow as any of the lowly, right, members of society. Lamalas tavosa, which merely pursue their desires. Becheka, which is fall in their lap. Kashom ala moshul. He said, the moshul said, he says, the wise man once said, kol mi she'enem is bayish menafshoi, a person is not embarrassed for himself, It means that he perceives himself very little. If a person thinks of himself very little, that's why he's not embarrassed for himself. A person would think a little bit more of himself, but obviously they'd be embarrassed for himself. But a person who would do things and does not feel embarrassed is because he does not think so much of himself. Had he really understood his value and what his worth is, then he would definitely would control his behavior differently. So one more here, though, we say, Al-Kain. Therefore, Oyeshe'oyveit. And therefore he says, a person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oyeshe'oyveit yishtadol tomei lahasig erkoi. Therefore it's important for a true servant of Hashem. Someone who's a true servant of Hashem, yishtadol tomid, he should continuously strive lahasig erkoi, to comprehend his significance. Again, repeat it again. That's important, that a person should always try, is lahasig erkoi, a person should try to comprehend his significance, the erech hatzadikim, to understand the value, says, of the righteous people. Because if you understand the value of righteous people, you'd want to emulate them, if you understand their value. So this is something you have to work on, to understand your value, and the erech hatzadikim v'chassidim v'malosom chashivosom, their milas, their virtues, and their importance, v'chibosom, and the, right? And the dearness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, how dear HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers them to be, with v'kusom, and how they are connected to Hashem, and so on. V'yovin v'yaskil. And then he says, he will understand. He will understand the yeda ki yuchel lahasig malosom v'chashivosom v'chibosom. In other words, if you see someone who's righteous, you will understand you can also attain righteousness. Doesn't mean exactly like them, according to your potential. If you see righteous people, and you understand what it means to be righteous, and you appreciate righteousness, you also then will be able, he says, give, as he says, kashayavi kemosom, but you also have to work like they do. It doesn't come overnight. You have to work on that, you have to work on that like they do. You have to work your entire life, you have to work, kol yimechayo, v'itoysov, v'ishoysov, means his moments, his time, where a goyv, that is, dedicate your life, kifi koychoy v'asogosoy. All we're asking is according, he says, your ability, your comprehension and your ability. As the Pesuk says, ki koyv elecho hadovom oy b'ficho b'vovcho, if you only want to do it, the Pesuk says, you'll be able to do it. It's close to do it. Just start little by little, because Hashem is not asking you to be something that you're not. Hashem is asking you to be what you can be. Karkeli is Baruch, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu einoy mevakish mibnei yodom. Does not, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not request from any man ki im lefi koicham, only to be what you can be. Kashi is Baruch, as I will explain, he says, Bezes Hashem in a different passage. And the Gamma Ovo is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and even the Ovis himself, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, as great as they were as great according to their ability. Their ability, they had more ability. They were endowed with greater ability, so they were greater. But at the end of the day, they were only as great as their ability. So all we're asking from you also, do according to your ability. And if you do according to your ability, you're as great as they are. Because they also only did according to their ability. So they had more ability, so they were greater. If you have less ability, so you're less. But you can still be like them in the fact that just like they did to the fullest extent of their ability, so you also do to the fullest extent of your ability. That's what he points out. Okay, so Rabbi Yisrael, so now let's take a look a little bit on the sheet. Just want to mention another Nekuda. For example, I just want to mention when Rabbi Yoni started out to mention that a person should sheyeda ho'eved erech atzmo, a person should know his self-worth. I just want to mention that, for example, the chinuch explains, the chinuch was, you know, someone who follows the, usually in most cases, the ways of the Rambam. Chinuch also, you know, going back so many years back. So the chinuch writes, he says, the reason that when you ate the Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach, the Torah says, Allah, the etzem l'sish b'ruboy, that you're not allowed to break a bone in the Korban Pesach. Why are you not allowed to break a bone in the Korban Pesach? This is the first, this, let's understand, this was the first Seder that they made as free people. Just when they had permission not to leave Yerushalayim. It was the night of leaving Mitzrayim. So they had the Korban Pesach, and now became a commandment for all time. The etzem l'sish b'ruboy. And the chinuch writes, he says, you know why? Because the idea is she'ein kovod v'bnei melochim, because it's not a kovod for sons of royalty, legare ratzomois, to drag bones. And he says, who breaks bones? He says, let's understand, in the animal world, an animal, when they eat meat, right, and suddenly so a dog, give a dog his bone. That is That is that type of behavior. But people who are royalty should not be eating that way, in the sense that they break bones. And the idea is coming out of Mitzrayim, when people in Mitzrayim, right there, they were lowly, oppressed, above them slaves for so many years. Now they have to realize and regain confidence to understand who they really are, coming out of Mitzrayim. That in fact, they are now B'nei Chayim, they are free, that they are Ben Melochim. And being that they are sons of Melochim, it's not covered with B'nei Melochim, he says, Legara Hoy Somois. And he says, well, the Shabram Kiklovim, to break bones, he says, like when dogs eat. It's not appropriate to do so. Only to those who are so starving, he says. And therefore, now that we are becoming the people of Hashem, coming out of Mitzrayim, we are becoming, he says, segula mekolamim. We are now stepping into our next role, becoming the treasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, become a mamleches koyanim. A people who are preparing to become a Mamleches Kehanim, a people who are ready to prepare themselves for Matan Torah, the Yisimli Segulim Kolamim, said it's not appropriate that they should eat in such a manner. They have to eat in a dignified manner. That's why he says the Chinuch, the Etzem Lesejibru Boy. We have to show, he says, Lasa Ismaisim Hamarim Bonu, that show Hamayla Hagdoyla Sha'olinu Law, that we have raised up to, Ba'oysa Shah, and so on. And he goes on and on and on. But that's again, this is, we can, with the chinuch again, simply reiterating what we just learned now by Rabbi Ben Yoina. Okay, let's take a look at Rabbi Yisrael a little bit here, and we're going to find out. The first item we have here is from a drosha of Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz. First item we have over here is from a drosha of Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz. And this is a drosha in Sefer Yaris Davash, which is, of course, one of the most popular form of Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz. And Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz, you can see this is Drush Tezvov. It happens to be towards the end of Drush Tezvov. Yonis and Ibshitz, we had this chus a few years ago to be in the cave of Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz. And by the way, in the cave of Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz, which is in Alten in Hamburg, which is, happens to be 5 kfarim away from his greatest adversary, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. 5 kfarim away, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz was Nifta first in 1764. And let me just mention this. Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz was the preeminent Godel of all time. Certainly in his time was recognized. He had 20,000 Talmidim. Imagine, in those days, the mode of travel we mentioned a lot of times, how did you travel? Like today in a plane, you go wherever you want to. You can get as many Talmid if you want, if you're popular. But those days, even if you're popular, how did people even know about it so quick? How did they get from 20,000 Talmidim he had? Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz. And he was also as equally great as he was in Nigla. He was also in Nisr, in the hidden portions of Torah. And when he came to Hamburg, he came in 1750. In Altona, there was a magefa, that women in childbirth, many women did not survive in childbirth. So he used to write these kameyas, he used to write these amulets, right, with all these various shemas, all these various things, formulations of Hashem's name in different ways, and so on and so forth. And as we said, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden opened up one of them, and he said, whoever wrote this kameya, he says, is a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. And this really, you can imagine what happened, such a tremendous uproar, because he was the rabbi of the city, Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz. I should mention that in the beginning, they got along pretty well. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, when Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz became rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived there from before. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was born there. Then he lived in other places. They sat side by side. And they were machabed each other, and that was a tremendous. And it turned out that he was driven out of town, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because he caused this uproar. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden had to leave. He ran off to Amsterdam, and his Rebbetzin got involved with the court system to try to protect him. It got to the point is even that the king Friedrich V of Denmark, because then it belonged to the kingdom of Denmark, got involved, and he said Rabbi Yaakov Emden is allowed to come back. So he came back, but this did not die down, and was sized to the right and to the left. But history has exonerated, as you see, Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz, he's someone who's very highly revered in all our circles. So let's take a look over here, Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz. Let's take a look here. We have here in Yaris Davash. And the title of this, as we see here, if you take a look at the title, number one, Chayves Hazchira Shehu Ben Melech. The Chayves Hazchira means the Chiyuv to remember that you are a son of royalty. Here again, it's not a coincidence. There's him, Rabbi Yonis Ibshitz. He did not see the Shal Avodah, he did not have the Sefer Shal Avodah that we just saw right now. Okay? So this is written again, this is written in the mid-1700s. Chayves Hazchira Shehu Ben Melech. Yesh Gai V'Hamuteres. Right? Because it seems like Gaiva. I have self-esteem. We're always talking about another, be another, humility. All of a sudden, how chashuv you are, how important you are, how great you are. So Rabbi Yonah Sarab says, there is a Gaiva that's mutter. In other words, there's Gaiva the Kedusha, and there's Posel the Gaiva. And by the way, Anova is also the same thing. Anova is not always a virtue. Anova is only a virtue in the right time. But if it comes the time to take a stand, to take up for Kroy Shemayim, don't say, I'm not going to do it because I'm an Anova. Let somebody else do it. That's called Anova Psula. Pasuk says, Vayigbal Libra B'Darkei Hashem. When it comes to Darkei Hashem, that's what made Pinchas great. Pinchas could have said, I'm a big Anova, you know, let things still take its course, let somebody else do it. That would be Anova Psula. So to be an Anova, as much as a virtue it is, only in the right time. In the wrong time, Anova is not a mile either. And Gaiva is also, is only possible. Gaiva is only something, a negative, when it's not in the right time. However, he says, Yesh Gaiva Hamuter, there's a Gaiva that's Mutter. Venoah, as beautiful as Goyis La Odom Bo, with Derech Moshul. He gave the Moshul over there, and then he goes further. Look what he says. Vechein Hadover, Nishmoseinu Memkarelin, you know what you possess? Do you know what kind of neshama you have? Your neshama, he says, comes from a Mekar Elion, comes from a source way above. The neshama was carved out. It comes from the Kisa Kovit. The neshama comes from the highest place that you can imagine. Raki misnakeres, he says, vatered mikvoidolam azaz. Unfortunately, the neshama is not recognized in this world. You don't recognize. You don't recognize the greatness of the neshama. Because the neshama has lowered itself from its high. The neshama come down to this world, you don't recognize the cheshivas of the neshama. He says it's like ish chakloi, right? It's like a person, right, who works the toils of. Imagine a Ben Melech who's working in the field. Ben Melech, right, who's a farmer. Is that a Ben Melech? The father neshama is the son of royalty, and you're in this gashim of the world. For Ben Melech to be in this world is no different than Ben Melech who's working in the fields. Vim ben Odom Yishkach, Heyoisa ben Melech, Melochim Baruch Hu. And if a person will forget, if you allow yourself to forget that you are Ben Melech, the Choshev, Kifi Hashem Misnakia Ben Miskein, and the way that it appears, you think, okay, the Neshama, right? The Neshama, you don't recognize the greatness. You think that that's the way it is? Then you're going to behave that way. Like someone who works, you could be an earthly person, like someone who's busy in the farm. By the way, nothing wanting to be a farmer, but he's trying to see a person of royalty, right? Who's driving a tractor, it's not exactly becoming. Avol, choyvol of liska b'choleis, it's imperative that he should always remember. Always remember, ki ben melech godol v'noira. Nobody greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have ben melech godol v'noira. You have ben melech godol of an awesome king. B'layoros lono linhoi k'minik p'chusim h'ru'uyim l'kafrim. It's not appropriate that we should behave like peasants. We don't know better. A Ben Melech, a prince, has to behave like a prince, not like a peasant. V'zui tachlis machloseinu. That's the reason, that's our spiritual sickness. What's our spiritual sickness? We don't know who we are. We forget who we are. Shereshoichim shayrit ishmaseinu. We forget the root of our neshama. Mimkornoyer of an isgav. It comes from such an awesome, awesome, highly place. U'bizeh ono anovim b'yoser. All of a sudden we become an onos. Become an onov, become an onov, become humility, humble. We have no pity, he said, on our honor and the cover of our neshamas. And we roll in the mud. Like a peasant, right, who is drunk. We also roll in the mud. The Hevel HaGashmi, in this materialistic, materialist world. He says, and so on and so forth. So this again, over and over again, this is good again, because this is, in a nutshell, what Rabbi Yonah Sarab again is telling us. The Chiyuv, as he says, Chiyuv to remember. B'chol Eis, he says, always to remember who we are, where our neshama comes from. So Gebeki, here we have in Yiddish, as I'll explain it, you'll, those know Yiddish will appreciate it very easily. Number two, this is the Sefer Divrei Rabban, Rabban Karliner. But we read Talmid, Talmid Baal Shem Tov. So they bring over here in the Sefer, Omar HaRav HaKodesh of Shleim HaKarliner. The Shleim HaKarliner said, the greatest Yetzirah is, as mefagest, as Nizah Ben Melech. The biggest Yetzirah is that you forget that you're a Ben Melech. That's what the Yetzirah tries to do. Yetzirah tried to rob you of your dignity. The Yetzirah, that's what the Satan tries to do. And if he's successful in that, he says, then he has you. And that's something, therefore, you have to always stand on guard for that. Remember who you are. Remember what your neshama, where you come from. And therefore, what kind of behavior, right, is appropriate to where you come from. Don't disgrace the uniform that you have. So there's a sefer called Yalkut Meshiv Nefesh. He says, it's the Sefer, and he points out, he says, maybe that's very interesting, you know, it's very common, you know, but every Chassan Kala gets married. What's the common speech about all Sheva Bruchas? What the common speech is? You always talk about miles of the chos and miles of the kal. Yoga emes, nisht emes. I used to say like this. I said to the chos and kal, I said like this. You can hear a lot of drushes. Be a lot of miles of the chosen. The chosen, when he hears the miles, should say to himself, whatever they say about me is not true. What they say about the kala is true. The kala is the same thing. Whatever they say about me is not true. What they say about the chosen is true. If they have that attitude, there'll be a lot of shalom bias. So each one really gives the credit to the other. So let's take a look. So he says over here, Benir Lefizeh, based upon this concept, Lozes Oitam, to give another reason, Lamashin Ehagin Ho'olam Lahaflig Bishvacha Chosen. We go to extremes. Lahaflig means exaggeration. Lahaflig Bishvacha Chosen. Why? Because a young couple are ready to build a home. They only can build the kind of home, right, that they believe that they deserve. A prince understands he has to build a home that's appropriate for a prince. A peasant will build a home for a peasant, a hut of some kind, with a thatched roof. A chosen kala have to understand they're sons of royalty. It's all the shvachim of the chosen, the mishpacha, you know where you come from, and the kala the same thing. So now if you understand that, This is the foundation now. This is the kind of a home we expect you to build. You have to have that attitude before you. If you have that attitude, there's a totally different type of a goal you're going to set before yourself. The Hayoisi says, being that they are now the beginning, right? They're now the beginning of building the future. At the beginning of building the future, what did Ben Yoyna say? HaPesach HaRishon. What's the first Pesach? The first words we started today. What's the first Pesach, he says? To know your value. Well, they are now starting the first step building the future. And the Pesach HaRishon, when you build or anything, is to know your value. Maybe that's why all the droshes say, yeah, you're such a barmailer, you're such a choshev, and the other. The Kim Shapesach HaRishon L'Hakir Malosom is to know the mailer. So Malos Avoysom, V'chem and Haroyu Oz, therefore it seems appropriate, laharich bishvach malosom, or beisavosom, talk about the family, the grandparents, and the fathers, and that idea. Because the more that you believe, that you have a shaykhis to royalty, that's the type of a house that you're going to build, and you're going to set before yourself. Just want to show you, just interesting is, we had Rabbi Yosef Naibshitz before. And Rabbi Yosef Naibshitz had the first idea that he said, that there's a chiyuv tamid, there's a chiyuv always to remember that you are ben melech. So I want to show you that exactly the same thing, his adversary said the same thing. We're not going to do the whole thing because we're out of time almost, because we have other things here I want to show you. Look at number 4. The Rabbi Yankee Vem, this is in the Siddur Hayayavis. So, of course, you know, it's of course printed his very famous Siddur. The problem with this, by the way, Rabbi Yankee Vem, Daven Nusach Ashkenaz. First was Germany, Daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Rabbi Yankee Vem printed his own Siddur, he has his own printing press, by the way, he printed it. And it's not Stam Siddur. Rabbi Yankee Vem, the Siddur, of course, you know, is filled with Perushim, Halochis, Dinim, which he brings from himself, from his father, from other sources, also the Kabbalistic sources for the Tfilis, and also punctuation and the vocal and the vowel. The Nekudis, how to pronounce certain words. So, Rabik, you know, Zichrono Livracha, was a descendant of Rabbi Yankee Vemdin. And one thing I remember bothered him tremendously. What did it bother him? Because Rabbi Yankee Vemdin's Siddur was reprinted many, many times. No? So, the reprinted Rabbi Yankee Vemdin, Nusach Sfard. Yankee was an Ashkenaz. So that's anti his whole mahalach in Davini, Rabbi Yankee Vem. But I'll just tell you one of the all the different things of the controversy of Rabbi Yankee Vem. I'm just going to mention, being that we're talking about him here, and this is something again which is you will not have, as you say, anybody, even if you believe it, put it down in writing. And this is Rabbi Yankee Vem, which he writes in one of the areas, and that is the following. Rabbi Yankee Vem said, the Gemara tells us actually Maseches Megillah, that regarding a woman having an aliyah, the Gemara says that meikra aloch a woman to be able to have an aliyah, except it's not kovad atzibur. That's the Gemara's lashon. It's not kovad atzibur. So Rabbi Yankee Vem says, you know, in days of old, you know, a woman would have the child in the house. They would have a midwife. They would go to hospitals. They have a child in the house. This is the way it's very common. And it was also very common that the husband would have also a minion in the house. The bris would be in the house. That very, very common. That bris would be done in the house. And you would have a minion in the house. So Rabbi Yankee Vem says, when you have a minion in the house, when a woman gave birth, right? So Rabbi Yankee Vem says, it's my opinion that the woman should have an aliyah. Yeah, you're hearing right. Why? If not, now when? So whenever in shul, she can't do it. Again, one of the controversial psukim of Rabbi Yankiv Emden. But that's Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rabbi Yankiv Emden did not have any qualms of stating what he believed and saying very clearly. That's, again, among many, many other things as well. So here you have, take a look, Rabbi Yisai, here, number four on the bottom. And he says here, Avol. In other words, Gaive, right? Gaive, arrogance, haughtiness, is one of the lowliest midas. It's one of the most negative of all. Chazal say, someone who's about Gaive is like, he's over Avodah Zarah, like worshipping idols. You cannot find enough, right? Enough words to describe, right, the negativity of being someone who is an arrogant person. But, says Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Avol Yesh Gaive Acheres Ruchnias. There's a spiritual Gaive, Toivah Moed. There's a good Gaive. There's a gaiver that's toiv moed, k'moishe matzino, another psula, like we said. To be humble is also not always good. If you're humble in the wrong time, it's also tosel. Ki kol amidos, because all of the midos, by the way, but the Bank of them is saying something we talked about a lot, in different venues. There's no such thing as a good mido or a bad mido. It all depends how you use it, in the right time or in the wrong time. You know, if you use it in the right time, it's good. It could be the best mido in the world. If you use it in the wrong time, it's not good. So he says, "Kikol amidos yivchenu, all the midos, all the characteristics of a person yivchenu, they are tested. But they are nice opinion. Depends what the purpose is, what's being called for at the time. Umaachar and being should call tachlis odom l'leches b'darkei Hashem. Being the whole tachlis of a person is to follow in the ways of Hashem. L'dov kaboy to connect. So gam bezui dam alelion. A man has to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, what's one of the midos of Kodesh Baruch Hu? Hashem moloch geyus lodesh. Hashem is Gaive, yeah? Hashem Molo, Gaive Slavish. You're supposed to follow the ways of Hashem. So you're also supposed to have Gaive. When? In the right time. In the right time. When it's time to take a stand. To say what's right. Should I say, I'm a humble person. It's not for me. Let somebody else speak up. No. You step up. If you understand that something's taking place and you have to rectify the wrong, you stand up. Do you say, I'm an onof? No. To be an onof in the wrong time, that's possible. That's wrong. Now comes, that's called Gaive Toive, Gaive Vrognias, and so on and so forth. That's always the same idea, which is being, again, promulgated, which is being advanced, it was mentioned here by Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz in the Yaris Devash. Well, I wanted to show it out to you here. Turn the sheet on the side. We'll go to number 7, because, and try to do that. And this in the Shvachim of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, as we know, was the great Talmud of the Arizal. If not Reb Chaim Vital, we would have lost almost anything of the teachings of the Arizal, because Arizal himself did not really write all that much at all, but rather it's what he revealed to Reb Chaim Vital, and Reb Chaim Vital was the one that recorded. And everything that heard from the Arizal was a very, very, very short time. The Arizal himself, you know, just... It's a very, very short life. And we have here the following. Let's take a look at number 7 here. Mashu Omar Harizal Reb Chaim Vital Zechroin Lebroche Lechazkoi, to give him chizuk. Okay, these are the words of Reb Chaim Vital. Pam Achas. So what is the top one of time? Sha'alti Lemoyri Zechroin Lebroche. What is that? I once asked my Rebbe the Rizal. Hey Choy Oyim Ali. How would he say to me? Now the Rizal used to say to Reb Chaim Vital, said, the Rizal used to say to me that my neshama is very choshev. That my neshama is at such a high level, Kinizkar, as is mentioned, Bishar HaGilgulim. There's a sefer of Narizal called Shar HaGilgulim. Talks about reincarnation, talks about, right? Right, neshama is transmigration, talks about reincarnation, and so on, all these things. So Chaim Vital said, how can you, my Rebbe, say that my neshama is so choshev? After all, we are living, every generation, every sub-generation, right, that moves away is a lower. Did you read this Adairis? The further we are, the Rishonim, right? The Rishonim were greater than the great. You go before the Rishonim, yeah, the Tanoim and Amoraim were even greater. The way back, closer to Har Sinai, the world is greater. Further than Har Sinai. As the generations move ahead, our generation, said Reb Chaim Vital, is far removed from the earlier generations. How can my neshama be so great, he said. But I caught in Shabbat Rishonim, the fact is, the smallest person in the Dairis Rishonim is much greater than the greatest of our generation. Again, the smallest, the lowest level of the previous generation, the smallest tzaddik, right? The smallest tzaddik of the previous generation is bigger than the greatest tzaddik today. I don't reach his heels, said Reb Chaim Vital. To the smallest of tzaddikim, how can you say to me that my neshama is so great? Reb Chaim Vital asked the Arizal. Look what he said. It's very important for us today. If it was 400 years ago, By the way, when this question was asked, it's even more important today. Look what the Arizal answered. Question: how can you say, Rebbe, that my neshama is on a high level compared to the previous generation? My neshama is nothing. There's no level. There's no level. There's no comparison. And my Rebbe answered. The Arizal said, "Da, I want you to know." Listen to what he said. The greatness of a neshama is not by evaluating the worth of your actions. Listen to what he says. To evaluate an action has to be evaluated in the total picture of what time you're living in, what are the challenges of the time, what atmosphere you're living in. Which means that if you're living in a depraved society, if you're living in a culture where everything goes, where there's nothing sacred, even a small davar tov, even a small thing that's good, outweighs something much greater in previous generations, because it's much more difficult in our time today. And the Arizal said that hundreds of years ago. Look what he said. Evaluating an action, what you do, evaluating a maisa is not in isolation. How great is your maisa? It could be a small maisa, but depending in the area and the atmosphere and the time that you're living in, that small maisa can have more chashivas than a great maisa of previous generations. A maisa is evaluated kfi hazman, the time you're living in, the hador, and the generation. Ki maisa kot moed b'dor hazeh. The Arizal said in his time. Imagine today. The Arizal said in his time. Ki maisa kot moed, a very small maisa. Shoku b'kame mitzvahs, he says, b'doyus v'shaynim, can outweigh many, many mitzvahs of free generation. Ki b'doyus ha'el, because in our time, said the Arizal, in his time, Arizal's time, ha'klipe g'deres moed moed, we have the forces of evil, are so strong, adding case. Mashenki b'doyus v'shaynim, but the early generation, they didn't have the nesoinus we have today. They didn't have the challenges we have today. So being based upon our challenges, based upon what we are exposed to every place we go, when inundated with all the media and everything, so every davar tov has such chashivas and shamayim, can outweigh maisim gedolim of previous generations. Look what he says, the ilu hayisi, this is like cold water, he says right on a hot day, the ilu hayisi ani boisen adoiris, he says, if I would be in those generations, he says, "Yesh lenafshi ma'ale gedoyle. My neshama, listen to this. My neshama, Reb Chaim Vital, has a ma'ale gedoyle, maybe more virtuous. Al kamet tzadikim rishonim zman tanoi mamarim." So give us a little bit of idea. So see what's going on in the world today, and you see, Taike. Some people, right, we have all the challenges and have great difficulty remaining connected. And therefore, every davar tov and every mitzvah and everything that we do, we have to recognize how tremendous, tremendous chashivas in Shemayim. So in any case, so this is what Rabbi Yoin is telling us again, that a person should recognize the chashivas of what he's able to be. There's an anecdote that's related regarding President Nixon, who said that on the night before he resigned, so he said that he stood in front of a White House portrait of President Kennedy, and he looks up to the portrait, Nixon, before he resigns, looks up to the portrait and he says, "Mr. Kennedy, the reason," he says, "America loves you, it dislikes me, because in you they see who they want to be, in me they see who they are." Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. So, Meshi Shem will continue next week further, and I think we'll leave on a good note. That was Lez Hashem for it.